Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. How did your week go? Did you have a good week? Great week? Wonderful week? Well, it doesn't matter how your week went. It was the week God wanted you to have. You ever contemplate that? You say, boy, it didn't go the way I wanted it to at all. It was very difficult. It was very troubling. It was a trial. Well, it was exactly what God wanted for you. He was trying to teach you something. He wanted you to learn something. By the way, he considers you his soldier. He's the general. I never was in the military, but I understand the principle. You just do what you're told, or else. Last week we looked at verses 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Find your strength in Christ alone, in His grace. And what you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Pass it on. And in verse 3, he says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. At least that's the way it used to be. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think. Did you get that? Think. Paul says to Timothy, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think over what I say. Don't read it once and forget about it. Well, we have the command at the start, suffer. We have the illustrations, soldier, athlete, farmer, and a final admonition. Think about these things. God will help you understand it. He starts off in verse 3 and he says, share in suffering. King James translates it, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Literally, he's saying, suffer hardship with me. The Greek verb there is a compound verb. It has a little introductory prefix, S-U-N, in the Greek. That means with. Okay? So the implication is if you're going to suffer with, if you're going to endure hardship with, who are you enduring hardship with? Well, Paul is telling them, you do it with me as I do it with Christ. By the way, that's a good encouragement. You don't have to suffer alone, right? We suffer together. We're in the same boat. We're going to suffer together. See, I don't want the suffering part. We'll get out of the boat. You say, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. You enlisted. Share in suffering, evil afflictions, persecutions, imprisonments, and maybe even death. If that's what God chooses. share in suffering with me. As a good soldier, soldiers suffer. Privates have sergeants. Anybody experience that? Anybody in the military experience that? Soldiers, privates have sergeants? Well, you've heard about it, I'm sure. Barking the orders, demanding. Because that's what came from the general. Soldiers suffer. Soldiers are soldiers 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is no break. When you're called upon, you do it. That's what the Christian life is like. It's 24/7. It's not a few hours on Sunday morning and then go spend the rest of the week whatever way you want to do it. No! You are a Christian 24/7. When you wake up grumpy in the morning, you are a grumpy Christian. Get over it. Confess it. When you get upset with that friend, you're an unfriendly Christian. Confess it. Realize that you have failed and you need to get it right. Share in suffering as a good soldier. Be a good soldier. A good soldier is one who obeys. A good soldier is one who fights the good fight. A good soldier is one who is faithful and does what he's told. And you're to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You have the best commanding officer in the world. The most loving, the most compassionate, and yet the most demanding general in all the world. And you're to obey. And sometimes that means you're going to have to suffer. Notice in verse 4, as he starts these illustrations, he says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Christ is the one who enlisted us. We were enlisted when we were born again. You say, I didn't choose that. Well, in a sense, you didn't choose that. He chose you. But he made you willing in the day of his power. And you willingly followed. You said, I want to follow Jesus. I believe in him. I trust in him. I'm going to live for him. He says, good, you're a soldier now. Wait a minute. I don't want to be a soldier. I wanted to be a sharer with the 5,000. I wanted to be a sharer with all the healings. I wanted to be a sharer with all these good things. Oh, those things will be there. But there will be times of suffering. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. We're to be good soldiers. A good soldier is single-minded, concentrating on his military task all the time. It's a matter of priorities. It's not that there is no involvement in the life around you. And in the life of ministering for God, you partake of daily life. You go to work. You provide for your family. You encourage your family. You have a wife or a husband. You have children. You raise them for God. You have to go to the store. You have to get gas at the gas station. You have to do things in the world. You have neighbors living around you. You are a part of the world. But you are not to be entangled. A soldier's got to be ready to serve the Lord at all times. God is not calling us to a hermit-like experience where we don't be a part of the world at all. We're not like Simon Stylitus, who got up on that, whatever that was, that tower he lived on, 50 feet tall or something, and he just lived up there, and people provided, I don't know how he did it, I can't even imagine. But for years and years, you're just on the top of this thing. Doesn't make any sense. That's not the Christian life. That's not what God's calling us to. That's not what it means to not be entangled. It just means not so caught up that when Christ calls you to do something, you can't do it because you're all entangled. Well, I wanted to witness, but I was just acting like everybody else, and how could I witness them? If we become too entangled with the world, we will not be pleasing the one who enlisted us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be able to accomplish all that he wants us to accomplish if we are caught up and entangled in just the world. It starts off here in verse 4 and it says, no soldier. If we're soldiers, that means all of us. None of us are to get entangled in these civilian pursuits. As it says elsewhere, you cannot serve God and money. What is your goal in life? To serve God or to serve money? You cannot serve God and self. What's your goal in life? To serve God or self? We fail often, don't we? This is a calling of God upon our lives. To be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Not to be entangled with the world. Not entangled in civilian pursuits. Because we have an aim, we have a goal for our life, and it's to please the Lord. How can you please the Lord? Well, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. So it's a life of faith. It's walking by faith. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, so it's not living a life after the flesh, it's living a life after the Spirit. As you are here, sitting here, listening to this right now, and you're calling yourself a Christian, what is your aim in life? You're to please the one who enlisted you. We need to continually be asking ourselves the question, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this pleasing to the Lord? It may or may not be pleasing to others, or even to yourself, but is it pleasing to the Lord? You've got to ask yourself this question as you go through your day. We're like a soldier. But then he goes on and he uses the illustration of an athlete. He says an athlete is not crowned. He doesn't get his prize. His Stephanos. That's where I got my name. This crown of, this laurel crown of temporary flowers and things. Athlete's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. One writer explained to us that there were three qualifications in the Grecian games, which were still going on in Paul's time. You had to meet three qualifications. The first qualification was birth. You had to be a true-born Greek in order to compete. Second, you had to train. You had to stand before a statue of Zeus and say that I swear before Zeus that I've trained for at least 10 months for this. And you had to compete. And you had to follow the rules for whatever given event you were doing. To fail in any of those requirements, you were adakamos, disqualified, cast away. I wonder how many of you have ever seen the Olympic Games. And people are training for years and years and years. They're working their hardest and they're doing their best. And the Winter Olympics start, and here's this skier coming down the slope. And he misses the first flag. And he's disqualified. It's like that. Wait a minute. Don't I get another chance? No, that's it. He didn't compete according to the rule. Or there's the runners lined up to run the 100-yard dash, the great dash. Oh, they're digging in. They're all ready. They're all tensed up. They're waiting for that ready, aim, you know. And ready, aim. What happened? Why were there two? Because somebody jumped the gun. Left just a little early. And is disqualified. After years of training. Wow. You see them at the side just weeping and weeping and weeping because they were disqualified. They didn't follow the rule. They tried to. They were doing their best, but they failed. Wow. By the way, the Lord is much more forgiving than that, right? Because we've all failed many times. But we still have to compete according to the rules. By the way, there's a qualification of birth for us, isn't there? We have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. In training, we must be faithful in studying and obeying God's word, and self-denial and prayer. Learning to be faithful, growing in the grace of the Lord. Dr. McGee, in his own unique way of saying things, said, Christians, it must be true exercise. And he said, the only exercise some Christians get is in jumping to conclusions, running down their friends, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing their luck. Well, it's only he could learn to say that, right? I hope you have much more than that. And we must compete. We must live according to Christ's divine standard of discipleship. A true disciple is trained in the spiritual disciplines of being in the Word of God and praying, meditating, fellowshipping, witnessing, and many other things. Disciplines of life. One of the means of grace is coming to worship together and learning from Scripture. And as a result, we will receive a crown. But it won't be a perishable crown. It'll be an imperishable crown. They only had this honorary wreath, a stephanos, a perishable crown, but for the Christians, it's different. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to have loved his, all who have loved his appearing. Are you looking forward for Jesus coming? Are you longing for the day? Do you lift up your eyes and say, Lord, will it be today? I was driving down here to church this morning, and I'm looking out, and all these beautiful, big, fluffy clouds. I said, this is wonderful. Because the clouds are the dust of his feet. He must be here around us. Wonderful. In 1 Peter 5:4 it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life, the crown which is life, which God has promised to all those who love him. You say, what are we going to do with these crowns? Revelation 4:10, the 24 elders fell down before him who's seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, worshiping him. Are you growing in the grace of the Lord? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Born again of his Spirit, desiring to please him in what you do and say? The apostle said, I preach to others, but I have to beat my body. I have to work on myself because I don't want to be a castaway. That's going to be true for all of us. And then he uses the illustration of a farmer. How many ever been a farmer? Anybody been a farmer? Yeah, some farmers. Hard work. Morning to night. The point he makes here is it's the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. If you're like a farmer and you work really hard in serving the Lord, you will receive from him. Remember what Peter said? He said, we've left all and followed you. Says Peter, you're going to have a great reward coming up. But I want to tell you, Peter, even in this life, you're going to be blessed. You're going to receive at the same time. Hard working means intense labor to the point of weariness, exhaustion, worn out. Well, that person will be the first to receive reward. There will be rewards here. There will be rewards in the future. I believe the greater rewards will be in the future. And so we should always be singing that song, right? It will be worth it all when we see Christ. You say, I'm not getting blessed with all the blessings I deserve. Well, it sounds like you're a little immature because you can't wait for the blessing. God's timing, he brings it. You have to wait for it. And the greatest blessings are to come. And so it'll be worth it all when we see Christ. The Apostle Paul, maybe it was when he was stoned and left as dead. Maybe that's when it was, when he was caught up to the third heaven, I don't know. And heard things that he wasn't able to come back and talk about, he wasn't allowed to. But God brought him back to life here and he lived. And he said, listen, I got to tell you, the sufferings of this present life cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen? Amen. Well, that means that there will be suffering in this life. There will be trials, there will be difficulties, and you are to share it together with the rest of us. That's why we're to comfort one another and encourage one another and weep with those who weep, even as we later rejoice with those who rejoice. What does it really mean to be a Christian? Well, look at verse 7. He says, think about this. Don't just come and listen for a while. Or don't just pick up your Bible and read and then put it away. Think. Cogitate. Meditate. Ruminate in your mind. Bring it back and think about it again and again and again. What was that pastor said about being a soldier? What was that about being an athlete? What was that about being a farmer? What is this all about this sharing and suffering? How does this impact my life today? This is for something that God has given you today to take with you this week. To meditate upon and think about, contemplate. To think is to consider, to reflect upon. It is to exercise the mind. And the Lord will give you understanding. Think upon the condition of the soldier, the principles upon which he enlisted and what it's going to cost him. Think of the aspirant for the crown in the Grecian games. Think about the farmer who, patiently toiling in the prospect of the distant harvest, and go to work with a similar spirit. And then be patient. And learn contentment, waiting for the reward. The Apostle Paul, who suffered so much, who can read 2 Corinthians there, where he's talking about all the things that he experienced, the 39 lashes and the shipwrecks and the beatings and the scourge, it's just all the things he went through, all the persecution. He's the one who said to us, the sufferings of this present life can't compare with the glories that are to be revealed. He's the one who says, share in this suffering, Timothy. And the Lord is saying to us, share in this suffering, brothers and sisters, together. Learn to be patient and content, waiting for the ultimate reward that will come. The promise here is the Lord will give you understanding. The Lord will, the word means to mentally put together. He'll put it all together as you meditate and think about these things. He says, oh, that makes sense, you know. Now I understand. The light goes on. Eureka, I found it. Yes, I can do this. This is how God wants me to live. To understand is to perceive clearly with the mind, to understand fully. But it comes as we seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't put other things first. Oh, I need to do this first. Why need to do that first? Seek first the kingdom of God. First the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So devote yourself to the Word of God. Be devoted to the Scriptures. Learn it, memorize it, meditate it, obey it. Where the words of Christ dwell in you richly. But then, as a good soldier, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Say no to self. Count your life as nothing in order to faithfully serve Him. And stop loving the world. Keep distance between yourself and the affairs of this life. Satan wants to entangle you. He wants to get you caught up in this and that and the other thing. And if you let him, you're going to miss out on so much that God wants for you. Are you a Christian? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't want to discourage you with any of this. This is the greatest life there is. It's knowing God. It's knowing Jesus Christ, who is the Lord God Almighty. It's having Him living within us in His fullness. His Spirit to lead and guide us in our lives. But this life down here on earth is not what it's all about. We are pilgrims, we're aliens, we're strangers, we're just passing through. We've got a home waiting for us, eternal in the heavens. Get your mind on the right things. Meditate on the right things. You say, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to earn a living, I got to do this. Yes. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will work it out. They'll work out. Priorities. Get them straight. Be a good soldier. Compete according to the rules. Work hard. God is waiting to just pour out blessings, even if it includes suffering. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word to us today. These are understandable truths, and yet we're still to meditate upon them and think about them and think over them, because there's still more to learn. There's still more to gain understanding about, and how to live our lives and follow you. Oh, Father, how true it is. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The end thereof is the way of destruction. It's not a life well-pleasing to you. Oh, Father, help us to walk in obedience to you. Help me, oh God, and help each one of us. And Father, if there's any here who do not know you yet, we pray that they will desire this, they will long for this, that you will have been speaking to their heart. They will confess their sin before you and repent and turn to you and trust in you and seek you with all their heart. And Father, some have become believers and they haven't become baptized yet, and we pray you'll speak to their heart about that. Father, find us faithful. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.